Chapter 7. At least the atmosphere isn't toxic, Charlie thought as he crawled from the crumpled wreckage of their ship. When he awoke, still strapped to the firmly bolted seat in the engineering compartment adjacent the command center, he felt a dry breeze blowing on his face. He found it odd that the ship's aircon systems would be blowing hot and arid. Then his fuzzy head began to clear. "We were going down," he remembered as the fog lifted. "We were going to crash." And a crash they had. He hadn't been conscious for it, of course, having blacked out from the crushing G-forces, but the ship had most definitely wound up on the surface of the odd planet they'd seen when the vid screens briefly flickered to life before giving up the ghost. Also giving away their unfortunate circumstance was the long tear in the hull of the ship that was letting light and fresh air into his otherwise sealed engineering center. The light filtering in, he noted, was somewhat orange in color. Charlie panicked for a moment, scrambling to find an emergency oxygen mask. Then the realization set in. He was breathing, and had been for some time while unconscious. If the air was going to kill him, it would have done it long before now. He craned his neck and peered out the ragged hole, squinting at the bright light from the twin stars in the sky. "Those are two suns, one red, one yellow. That makes orange," he mused, still in shock as he began unbuckling from his crash harness. "That means it was all real, what we saw before." Charlie shook his head, clearing it, then ran a quick self-assessment. "Snap out of it, Charlie," he said to himself, the sound of his voice in the otherwise silent confines of the damaged space bringing him back to reality. "Okay, self-check. Any injuries?" He moved his arms and legs, took deep breaths, carefully turned his head side to side. Everything seemed in working order. He had been shaken up, but the walls of the small room had created a highly reinforced, impact-resistant nook. It wasn't designed for that purpose, but if he ever got out of this mess, he was damn sure going to thank the team member who drew up the specs. Charlie tried the control panel, but power was fluctuating. Somewhere, a great many lines had been severed. As head of flight ops and engineering, it would be incumbent upon him to get them working and see his crew back to space. If that was even a possibility, that is. First things first, get to the others. "Anyone out there?" he yelled at the closed door, pounding his fist on the cold metal. There was no reply. "Okay then, we do this the shitty way," he griped as he swung the manual release lever from its nook and began cranking. The door, while not bent, was reluctant to open. But Charlie had gotten into decent shape thanks to Rika's insistence. With a bit of work, an opening slowly appeared as the door slid into its frame. "Of course, damage to the panel covering where it retracts. The door's fine, but the track isn't," he reasoned. "No matter, just need to get it open enough to squeeze out." At long last, a gap large enough to accommodate his frame had opened. Charlie sucked in his stomach as far as he could and slid out into the command center. "Shit," was all he managed in the way of articulate speech when he saw the state of things. Where his little side compartment was relatively intact, the command center was torn to bits, gaping holes in the hull providing unplanned windows to the outside world, where massive rocks had punched through the metal. Judging by the lay of the ship, most, if not all, lower levels were either destroyed upon landing or were now trapped beneath the surface of the desert they had plowed into. "Captain?" he said, searching for the man with a plan for every situation. His seat was gone, the snapped metal bolts that had held it in place jutting from the crumpled floor like so many broken toothpicks. A drying pool of red had leaked out from beneath the boulder embedded in the rear wall. Charlie knew where the captain had gone, and he would not be coming back.
"Charlie?"
a confused voice asked.
"Rika, where are you?"
"I'm over... I don't know where I am."
Charlie vaulted a mangled section of control console to where her voice had emanated. He saw a foot sticking out from beneath an impossibly jumbled mass of electronics, all torn free and deposited against the bulkhead. G-Force, the likely culprit.
"Hang on, I'm coming. Are you injured? Can you feel your arms and legs?"
I'm not totally sure, Charlie. I can't see.
You're stuck under a bunch of...
He didn't want to say wreckage.
"Look, just breathe slow and easy. I'll get you out of there,
but I need you to move slowly so nothing shifts and lands on you. Do you understand?
Yeah, I'll just lay here then, she said with a pained little laugh. Not like I was going anywhere anyway.
He worked as fast as he safely could, tracing back bent pieces of superstructure to ensure moving them wouldn't cause the whole mess to shift and collapse. After nearly a half hour, he was looking his friend in the eye. She was banged up, but intact.
Hey, he said.
Hey. So, give me about 5 more minutes, then you should be able to slide out.
Don't rush on my account.
He continued his work, untangling wires, moving chunks of metal and composite, until, at long last, Rika Gaspari was free. She sat up slowly, shook the dust from her hair, and surveyed the scene.
We are so fucked, she said with a sigh. Where's the captain?
Charlie didn't say anything. He simply pointed.
Oh, she said softly.
A hot breeze coursed through the holes in the ship, whipping up little dust swirls within the confined space. It was reddish, Charlie noted. It could almost be on Mars.
Almost.
We're not in our own solar system anymore, are we? He said, already knowing the answer.
You saw the same thing I did, Rika replied. And you know the science as well, if not better, than I do. That was an Einstein-Rosen bridge, a wormhole. Jesus, we actually got sucked down a wormhole, Charlie.
I know. And did you see the suns?
Yeah, 2 of them. One red, one yellow. Binary stars.
Judging by the orange light in this place, I'd say that's a fair assessment, he confirmed. I don't know about radiation, he said. The readings on my exposure band are in the safe range, but I think there may be stuff we've never encountered before. Wavelengths we didn't ever plan on testing for. But I suppose that's the least of our concerns at the moment.
What about the others? She said, rising to her feet. Have you made contact with any of them?
No, you're the first. But judging by what I can see of the way the ship came in, I think we lost most of the lower lab spaces on impact.
Rika looked outside and realized he was right. The ship was sitting on its belly, and far too close to the ground for its normal mass. We need to assess the damage, see what we can repair. If Cargo Bay 1 is intact, then the mech might be all right. We could use it to dig us out, once we...
Rika, the ship's a loss. We're stuck here, he said, sinking to the floor.
Rika took a deep breath and let the reality of the situation set in, then straightened her back and set her mind to dealing with their utterly novel circumstances. This was one emergency her training hadn't covered.
Fine, she said, more to herself than Charlie.
Then our only objective now is survival on this alien world. The sooner we accept that, the better off we'll be.
But they'll look for us, right? He asked, holding on to a tiny thread of hope.
How, Charlie? You know this was a rushed trial. And even if they could get another ship built and launched, we have no idea how we even got here. We weren't even supposed to do anything more than a simple orbital test. And if they did manage to locate us, it would still be months, if not years, before a ship was ready, even at breakneck speed.
Shit.
Hey, but at least the air is breathable, so there's that going for us. Food, water, and shelter are the next steps, once we search for other survivors.
You're right. I don't know what I was thinking, he said glumly.
You were thinking you wanted to go home, Rika said, fixing him with a reassuring look. And I do too, but since that's not an option, we're in improvised mode. Now come on, we've got to pull it together and make the best of the situation. Let's get moving and see if anyone else made it. I don't have any idea how long we have until nightfall, or how long the night even is on this planet. And we need to do this in daylight if we can. Power is spotty, and the lights may not hold.
I'll grab the portables, Charlie said, finally getting his head in the game.
Good. I'll grab the emergency toolkit, and we'll get started.
A few minutes later, the duo began the arduous task of finding survivors, as well as those not so fortunate.